Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, March 31st, 2011. A lot of material to cover this week, mainly concentrating on pollution, various types of pollution, including radiation. There's a lot of confusion out there. The public, in many cases, does not understand many of these issues. And with a lot of what you might call apologetic announcing in the major news media, one is left really confused. What's the truth? For example, the radiation coming from Japan. What's the real story there? Did I mention this is March 31st, 2011? I think last week I forgot to mention the date, so I have to make sure I say it this week and definitely get that in there. Situation with radiation and pollution, it's just phenomenal what the government and other agencies try and pawn off on the public. And of course, they always have top scientists there at their beck and call to give you their support, assuring you, for example, in the radiation coming from Japan, that there's no harm at all, that low levels of radiation are not harmful. They're within so many thousand times below government standards, whatever they might quote. But if you're the unlucky one to, say, have a baby that's in development or a very young, let's say, a fetus that's in development, if that is the unlucky one to get the bit of radiation, then all the statistics in the world don't make any difference because let's take an example. Say a woman goes in for an x-ray on a foot. Let's say a foot x-ray or a hand x-ray. Woman hurts her finger. One of the first things they will ask the woman is, are you pregnant? And even though they would cover this woman with lead shielding, big lead capes, etc., the understanding in the radiation community is that even, and so this is especially for early pregnancies, maybe within the first week or two, or certainly within the first month, that a errant x-ray or piece of radiation, in that case it's an x-ray, could cause genetic defects. Now, when you're talking about statistics, the government loves to use statistics and tell you that, oh, this radiation level from Japan is so many thousand times below such and such a level, and that radiation in your milk is just not a big problem. Well, who drinks milk? Pregnant mothers? Babies? The most susceptible people on the planet drink milk because it's in that category. A lot of adults don't drink milk. So the point is that adults have billions of cells in their body, so if you get one zapped, well, it's not a big deal. But if you're a newborn or newly created cell, embryonic cell, and you take an x-ray or a high-energy particle off a decaying radioactive matter that's fallen in dust that came from Japan, then all the statistics in the world don't make any difference because you have been affected directly. So you understand how statistics work and how they can be used to lie and cover up the safety. The same is used for levels of exposure to chemicals. For a long time, women were promoted to use chemicals in the household, and they were safe and all of this. Well, after a while, it became apparent that a lot of women were getting cancer, and so you look at the rise in cancer relative to the time when all of these chemicals came into use in the household, and of course, the situation is that these chemicals are absorbed through the skin. If you're exposed to it once, well, probably not a big deal, but if you're using it every day, say you're a woman that cleans houses for a living, you're exposed to these chemicals, you breathe them in. There's a little experiment that people do many times, and you could do it in nursing class or other types of classes, health classes. Take a piece of garlic just a piece of garlic from the refrigerator, you know, a little chunk of garlic, and cut it so that there's raw garlic. Rub it on the base of your foot, and then smell the top of the person's head. And in about, less than 30 seconds, you can already detect the smell of the garlic coming out the top of the person's head. In other words, the garlic had to get into the bloodstream, migrate all the way through the body up to the head, and then come out the skin of the person so that you could smell it. That's how fast the skin on your body is the biggest organ on your body, and it's the most porous. You can take moisture in, and it will take chemicals in. So that's one of the reasons why people use rubber gloves, for example. Some people are even allergic to the latex in rubber gloves. The human body is fairly resilient, but when it comes to organic chemicals, solvents, these are the things that solvents are the chemicals that can break down other chemicals, put them into solution. That's why they're used in chemistry. They can grab something, a solid, and bring it into solution. They can also destroy oils. They can get into your body and take the oils that are essential for transmission of electrical signals, the oils that are essential for lubricating your joints, the oils that are essential for your muscles, for all kinds of other purposes in your body. You have all kinds of fluids and oils and in your body. So solvents can take those and leach them away and replace them with the solvent. The solvents also can cause cancer in probably a high percentage of the cases. So the point is that although these products, so-called safe for human use, are with us, and a lot of them have fumes. You breathe them in. There's no better way in the world to get something into your body than through your lungs. It's the organ that has blood vessels immediately under those little air sacs, and everything, every bit of vapor, air, whatever that comes into your lungs gets drawn immediately into your blood system. So if you're in a bathroom with solvents, you're cleaning your bathroom with those spray and nice smelling, clean smelling so-called solvent based cleaners that help you clean your bathroom, clean the scum and the stuff off. Those are all solvents. They work because they have chemicals in them and of course there are some green products on the market, but the traditional chemical based cleansers that you buy in the store have harsh chemicals in them. If you breathe them in, they go right into your lungs and right into your blood system. So anyway, there are other chemicals that the government wants to put in your life. Let's put it that way. Let's talk about fluoride in drinking water. Now, this brings up this just came in within the last day. There's a story about, where is this? This is in Illinois. The article came from, I want to give reference here because of the fine work that this group does, naturalnews.com is the source of the story. There was a fluoride spill at a water facility in Illinois, Rock Island, Illinois. And I think that's up north in Illinois, but I'm not sure. But any Rock Island is a famous place. A railroad was named after it, or it was named after the railroad. I'm not sure. Johnny Cash had a song, the Rock Island Line. Well, anyway, Rock Island, Illinois had a fluoride spill. Now, if you look at any water processing plant, it's called hydrofluorosilicic acid. In other words, it's a chemical that the cities sometimes by law, by edict, or by passing laws or adopting laws and standards, put this into your drinking water. So I want to let you know what happened at this water treatment plant in Rock Island, Illinois. This, as I said, just came in yesterday. The chemical spill was of the chemical that the city puts into the water to treat, and the reference now the there were crews that had to be sent, and they looked like the same kind of gear that the radiation hazard cleanup specialists were wearing at the radiation sites in Japan. The comment in this article states that the fire chief of this local facility that aided in the cleanup of this agent of the fluoride says it's a corrosive agent that the water treatment plant uses. He explained that the crews had to use earthen burns, dirt, sand, and commercial broom equipment to stop the leak. They said that there was no inhalation hazard, and nobody was required to evacuate. But the the point of this article was that the fluoride leak, the liquid that came out of this tank, accidentally fell on the cement outside of this water treatment plant and burned a hole through the cement in the parking lot where the spill occurred. So they had to clean this up. And now they're telling you that this corrosive liquid they're putting in your drinking water and it's okay for you to drink. And I always thought this was odd in listening to the logic that the cities would use. And they would say, well, if you don't want it, you can always get a filter that removes the fluoride. And I thought to myself, well, if there are people out there who want this, you can buy pills and you can take a pill of fluoride. They're little purple pills. And you can actually take fluoride. They've convinced people sometimes that live on well systems that they should take fluoride because it helps their teeth. And I never quite imagined how taking a pill internally is helping your teeth. But at any rate, that's the story that the dental community wants to put. It's in probably almost all toothpastes. But the point is that at this treatment facility in Illinois yesterday, a spill of this liquid, the fluoride that they put in your drinking water, burned a hole through the cement in the parking lot. So, do you really want that in your water? But the point is that the cities take it on their responsibility that this is good for you. They're just protecting you. They're looking out for your own good. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the radiation from Japan, and this just is also just in I was searching. I usually do a search of the news media right before the show. And CNN is one of my favorite targets. I call it the Candy Nugget News. They're talking about the fact that there is no health risk, or they state there's no health risk, from radiation found in milk. And it's found in milk in quite a few states right now. And they state that a person would have to drink 1,000 liters of milk to receive the same amount of radiation as a chest X-ray. A radiation oncologist from Houston's MD Anderson Cancer Center has told us. But they're talking about a particular isotope, iodine-131. And that's a short-lived, it has a short life of, they say, a half-life of about 8 days. So I want to explain a little bit about this type of radiation, and remember that the radiation leaking from Japan stems from bomb-grade plutonium. So right now, my guess is that the government is not telling us the whole story. Also, the other thing I want to stress and emphasize before going into any of these articles or giving any descriptions is that radiation is cumulative. It builds up over time. They're talking about a short half-life isotope here, and a half-life means that if you have 100 atoms of this particular radioactive molecule or atom, that in 8 days, 50 of those atoms will have decayed and given off radiation. Sometimes the secondary items, the 50 that decayed, will give off secondary radiation, and that particular isotope may have another half-life. and these things can go on and on. It gets rather complicated. But the heavy atoms that they use in the nuclear reactors breed a number of subparticles and other types of atoms and isotopes that then decay. All of this can get blown up into the atmosphere. Typically, they attach to dust particles, which are carried in the wind. I explained this a couple weeks ago in my show. And they're carried across the ocean, and they are falling out constantly. But typically, they will come up on the jet stream, and basically, they will blow every place. They will cover the entire United States. The jet stream will eventually go north, it'll go south, and it's kind of like a snaking stream of wind, and it has water in it, and it can all, this can also fall as rain. So now this is getting into the grass, the cows eat it, it gets into the milk, and then it gets into the processing plant. So let me just say this. It was March 11th when the Japanese earthquake occurred. It is now March 31st, so that's just 20 days later. It is already showing up in the drinking milk. Understanding that radioactivity is cumulative, and the fact that this will be coming over in waves, so to speak, and it's already being detected in milk, that's just 20 days after the earthquake. This tells us that there's a lot of radiation coming into this country. A lot of radiation. Now, once again, let's review what has to happen. The radiation has to blow in from Japan. It has to fall by rain or by just falling out of the jet stream onto the ground. The cows eat the grass, and they're out there grazing on the grass. Then the cows digest that, turn it in their biological process, turn that into milk. And remember that the milk is a fraction of what the cow is producing at that time. So now this cow is becoming slowly radioactive. It's building up. The grass where the cow lives is going to continue to build up with radiation. And one could make calculations based on the half-life of that, say, let's talk about that original 100 atoms of iodine 131 that fell in the around the cow. And of course, there are a lot more atoms than that, and a lot more isotopes than that falling around the cow for him to eat it and have it turn up and be measurable in the milk. That's a lot of radiation. It's a lot of radiation, and for some government agency to come out and say prematurely, right now, that, oh, it's not a problem, but we're going to keep monitoring it. That tells me two things, that they were monitoring it right away and noting that it would be a problem, and now they're seeing the first detected amounts in milk, and they're quick coming out to say there's no problem. Well, if you were able to sit down and make a calculation, which these scientists should be able to do, they all have PhDs. They don't work for the government with anything less. They could easily calculate that in 1 month, in 2 months, in 3 months, in 4 months, that level of radiation is going to increase. It's cumulative, and they're not shutting down the radiation leaks in Japan. They cannot shut them down. I don't know what the conditions are going to be in the future, but it does appear that these radiation hazards from Japan are going to continue. The situation in Japan must be very bad at this time, and I don't see a single word about that in the news. I noticed another CNN article talking about the price of beef skyrocketing. Well, the price of beef is going to go up because the demand for food in the world is going to go up because you have entire sections of the world, England, Europe, now Japan, entire sections of the world that are not able to produce food. Even though Japan was an isolated country, it had some food production. It had fishing. Now one would be very skeptical to eat fish. And by the way, I have to tell you a story. I went to the grocery store, something I don't do very often anymore, but I went by the fish counter in a particular grocery store. And they had shrimp. They had shrimp from Vietnam that was fresh raised shrimp, or farm raised shrimp. They had from various parts of the world imported shrimp. And it was all like $8 to $11 a pound, something like that. And very lonely in the corner and looking very pale and unwanted was a dish of Gulf shrimp for $3 a pound. I didn't see anybody running up to the counter to buy that. So, but the point is that we have the Gulf of Mexico, which right now probably you would not want to eat anything from. We now have the Pacific Ocean, which is going to, which is a huge source of fishing, especially around Japan, which is going to be questionable into the future. So the pressure being put on food is going to increase with the idea also that radiation is going to continue. It's a very bad situation when 20 days after the earthquake and initial ruptures of some of these plutonium-burning nuclear power plants in Japan, that within 20 days we can already detect it in the milk. Now, for the government to run right out and say, there's no problem, it's way below our levels control levels or allowed levels, if whatever the government wants to say, is really terribly irresponsible. Because, as I said, radiation is cumulative. And so what they should be saying is that within a month, 2 months, 3 months, these levels will increase. And probably they won't increase linearly. They will increase by some other function, possibly up to as much as exponential, which means that every day as the radiation comes in, or if there's a specific leak that grows or gets out of control in Japan, then we could have within days a radiation situation where it turns up in the water. So this is the other situation. They're only monitoring milk. That's just from cows. How about this summer when plants and food and potential food crops are growing all across the United States? Over a 2 to 3 to 4 month period where you have tomatoes, you have corn, you have soybeans, you have in California, one of the closest places in the United States to Japan, where a lot of our food comes from, being irradiated, and that food will then have that radiation in the food being shipped around. And after 3 to 4 months of accumulating that radiation, then those will be harvested, and on a year-long basis, on an ongoing basis, radiation will be accumulating in the fields. Okay, let's take a look, just to give you an idea. Let's look 2, 3, 4 years down the line with the level of radiation that's coming in from Japan right now. Let's multiply that by 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times. And this, when it rains, the plant soaks up the water, and it has radiation in the water, in the dust. The plant is ingesting the dust, converting that, and the radiation is traveling up with the water into the plant. Within years, now we have accumulation. This is what I'm talking about. Radiation is cumulative. It's not something that just, oh, it's here today, and don't worry about it, tomorrow it'll be gone, and we'll all be better. Then again, they're talking about, as I said, the risk. The risk is relative to who you are. So if you have a brand new fetus, a pregnant mother, the people that are most susceptible, then you cannot talk in terms of normal statistics. A single X-ray or a single radiation particle, high energy particle from a decaying radioactive isotope could be the thing that hits that cell, destroys a particular DNA. And as I said, the statistics don't matter at that point, because that particular cell, that particular person, that particular organism is going to be damaged. Let's take another example. Let's take Babe Ruth as a batter. one might look over his lifelong statistics and he comes up to the plate in the World Series and they say, well, Babe Ruth has one out of every 10 times at bat, he hits a home run. Okay, well, that tells you statistics before something happens. If Babe Ruth hits a home run, then the statistics are out the window. The chance that he hit a home run is one. He hit a home run. That's it. And that's like the radiation particle. If it hits an unborn, newly conceived fetus in the DNA patch of that cell, then it's like Babe Ruth hitting the home run. It's the statistics are one. It's 100%. So the government is lying with statistics, and it's using its paid scientists to do this. And once again, I have nothing to do with government-paid scientists. They collect a paycheck. A lot of them are Tier 2 scientists, and they're the perfect people. No matter what you do with the government, they always can come in and give you a secure reason for the government story. I'm just going to switch gears here a little bit because I have another article that's on my stack of articles here. This is from the American Geophysical Union, and I like these people a lot. I work around them, but also I have a problem. Right now, this happens every year. They're in danger of some of the science funding from government being pulled away. They're talking about $3.5 billion in cuts for scientific research and education. This is passed the House but did not pass the Senate, so they want all of the scientists to write to their congressmen, tell them how important it is for the government to fund science. But there again, scientists have become enabled, so to speak, by government. What do you do, say you had a child and they grew up and you just kept giving them money and they never had to work, they never had to go out and do anything for themselves. They would become dependent on that and they would not learn how to go out and forage for themselves. This is what's happened to our scientists and engineers. When money gets tight, they don't think, well, gee, I'm going to go out and create my own scientific research center, and I'm going to do my own research, and I'm going to turn this into something that the public can digest, and I'm going to get supporters. They don't think that way. They think, I got to go to the government to get more money. That's the only thing they think. That's the only thought that comes through the collective scientific brain in this country. They can't imagine going out and somehow supporting themselves. So the government has a key, a lock and key on all the science scientists and everything they do. Because every time, all they got to do is pull back the money a little bit and all the scientists go running, oh my goodness, our science funding is going to be cut. I couldn't think of a better thing to do than to cut all the scientific funding in this country so that these scientists, for a change, would go out and get a life. But at any rate, I just want to throw that in. But it's so apropos at this point to point that out, because as the public statements from government agencies come out trying to tell you about radiation and how it's good for you, or it really isn't that bad for you, and it's within so many thousand percent of the standard government limit within the, say, an X-ray or whatever, that is... really false statements. The other thing is they would compare it to, say, an X-ray, or they would compare it to a flight on an airplane. That was one of the other comparisons. Well, you're not flying on an airplane 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No. But you are eating. You're breathing air. You're drinking water every day. So it's not fair to compare a dose of radiation from a glass of milk to an airplane ride or to any other thing that you do occasionally. That's not a fair comparison, because kids drink milk every day. Okay? Mothers drink water, they drink they're exposed to other foods that could have radiation, and the radiation is working through their system, all of those reproductive organs are all centralized, and all of that food is passing right by the reproductive organs of the mother. So all of that food is within an inch, probably, of the fetus as it passes through the body. Now, don't tell me, government scientists, that you can compare this to an airline trip or an x-ray, because it is not true. False information coming from government-paid scientists. I really cannot stand them, as you can tell. So, at any rate, let's talk about some other types of pollution today. Chemicals, oil, other items in the water, and of course, one thing I did an entire series of shows on a while back were drugs. The people take prescription drugs. We take tons of around, if you went around your town or city on a given day, there would be pounds, if not tons, of prescription drugs taken. And when they pass through the person's body after they've done whatever they do, those then pass out of the person's body. They go down into the water treatment plant where the water is recycled and it goes back into the groundwater. So you can find all of these chemicals in the groundwater. So people are taking as they drink water, whether it's the city water, and remember that your city is completely unable to take this kind of thing out of water. What they try and do is maintain a safe bacteria-free water and put it through the tubes to your house. Adding fluoride in as this hydrofluoric acid, as I said before, it's to your water so that it supposedly helps your teeth. And that's the story. Remember that in World War II, the Germans discovered that fluoride actually caused people to be kind of drunk and lethargic. And it was used to control people. It was put in the water to control people. So all of these issues coming out regarding fluoride, including the fact that, of course, the studies were done to tell you that fluoride is safe in your drinking water or in your toothpaste. These studies were done by the people that would benefit by the sale of this. So at any rate, drugs, pharmaceuticals, also in the drinking water. So at any rate, the issue with radiation, I don't really know myself, and I'm trying to get what I would call real data on this. I'm trying to get real data on the cumulative situation with radiation from Japan. I don't think the government, which they do have the good equipment, I don't think they're telling the truth. What tells me something is if you can already detect it in cow's milk within 20 days of the accident in Japan, that's a long ways away. I don't know if you've gone to Japan or flown there on an airline, but it's a long ways away. For something to carry over and be in enough concentration where it ends up on a glass of milk on your table within 20 days, there's a lot of radiation coming here. And so for the government also to tell you that, oh, the level of radiation in that glass of milk is pretty low and it's really not enough to worry about, is tremendously misleading. What about the air you breathe? What about radiation on dust that's coming into the atmosphere? You put a lot of air through your lungs every day. There are many ways to accumulate this. What about the cow who eventually be butchered and sold as meat on the meat market after sitting and eating that radiation-laden grass for 2 or 3 years? What's going to happen to the beef there that they try and sell? What is it going to be like? What's the radiation level in that beef going to be like? And then the pregnant mother is going to eat the beef. That's going to pass through, as I say, through the digestive system within 1 inch of the unborn fetus, and on a daily basis, that radiation is going to be passing through there. So for the government to come out and talk about this as if there were no problem at all, and it's a lot less than an average x-ray, there again, even if you did compare it favorably to an x-ray, they will not give x-rays to pregnant mothers. The reason being, even though they can put a lot of shielding around the mother's stomach, an errant x-ray can come and destroy the DNA in the unborn fetus and cause genetic damage. So none of this is adding up. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I particularly don't have good data, but as with many things, one thing I learned how to do, and I had to learn how to do it, was say, for example, when NASA put out a spacecraft and it went out to one of the planets and the data came back, the instruments were designed by scientists who didn't know what they were doing. The scientists didn't understand about electric fields. They didn't understand how to interpret the data. And so the data would come back all, it would be, to just put it mildly, it was all messed up. So what I had to do is learn how to look through what they were doing to pull real information out of that. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm doing that with what the government is trying to pawn off on you as information regarding radiation. Now, this is a sensitive issue because the public, there's kind of a pecking order here in which the government has its official story and they want you to think that they're giving you the complete and unabridged story. So for someone to contradict that and say, this is really what the real story is, because we're looking through the data, the information you're trying to put out, and it's bogus, it's twisted, it's not true, and it's not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, if you understand what I'm saying. It's kind of the twisted government truth. So maybe some of the numbers they're using are accurate, but then they're not interpreting it, they're not looking at the long term, they're not looking at the cumulative effect of radiation, and they're only looking at a small piece of the data, and they're not giving you the full story. If there's iodine-131 in the milk, then there most likely are other types of radiation that they're not talking about. They're not talking about what's going to happen with the crops this summer. With the radiation continually blowing in from Japan. They're not talking about, and just in the Japan story itself, I am shocked and amazed at the lack of the human side of the coverage of news from Japan. We're hearing more about the rebels on the Ivory Coast and in Africa than we are from Japan about the real story, what's happening with the people there. What's going on in Japan? We don't have any reports coming back from the human side of Japan. They talk about radiation levels here, but what are the radiation levels in Japan? What's happening with those people? How are they, within 20 days, most of the people there are not going to have water or safe water. If they do have water, they're not going to have food or an ongoing supply of food. How are these people going to manage? I don't see one word on that in any of the major news media. It's all about Libya and who's back and forth winning on the front between the so-called rebels and the whatever. You know, that's what's in the news media. You don't hear about the human side of Japan. And it's, once again, a failure of our news media. But maybe it's not just a failure. It's a planned disinformation outage. Just completely controlled news media. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to switch gears here. I wanted to start off with that information because it's so important. There's a lot of confusion out there, and a lot of people really are not sure what to do. And at this point, I would say the following, that from what I can tell right now, the radiation leaks in Japan are not going to go away. They will probably get worse, and there could be some explosive events there. Let's look at one of the, just cooling down a reactor. If you have a reactor that is hot, let's put it that way, it was in production when the tsunami and when the earthquake hit, some of the plants were able to shut down a little bit or partially, but the heat that then is contained in there is not removed. That heat has to go someplace, and the ongoing reaction is continuing, which means there's a buildup of heat and there's no cooling process going on. Eventually, that's going to start to steam and leak out and get into the atmosphere. My suspicion is that this is ongoing in Japan. It will get worse, and some of these plants eventually will just melt a hole in the containers and just start spewing this out on an ongoing basis for hundreds of years, not just now. If we are already detecting radiation 20 days after the event, imagine in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, what's going to happen with the accumulation levels of radiation. This radiation is not going to go away. For scientists to say that it only has an 8-day half-life is very irresponsible, because if it's building up at a rate faster than 8 days, then if you're doubling your amount of radiation in less than 8 days, then the accumulation is positive. And the radiation is going to continue going on. Another issue is that with fast decaying radiation, the level of radiation is much higher, much quicker. And so to try and tell you that a short half-life radiative particle is better is counterintuitive, because it has a higher level of radiation and it happens much faster. So, and if it's accumulating, you've got a radiation problem that's not going to go away. It's going to be in your, if it's already showing up in cow's milk on the glass on your table, it's going to be building up in that cow. After 20 days, it's already built up in that cow, possibly to dangerous levels. And after a year, after 2 years at that, and then plus the cumulative effect, those cows are going to be, let's put it this way, unsafe to eat by anybody's standards. This is the part that the government is not telling you. And so when I read these articles, all I can do is shake my head, because it's clear that these are cover stories. And so anyway, the question then remains, what is a person to do? This is something that I somewhat anticipated by the pre-filter. I believe that people at this point have to become prepared for long term. And I've been talking about this for years and years. I talked about preparation for Planet X type scenarios, this type of thing. But preparation is the same, no matter whether it might be a Planet X object. And as far as that information, I don't have any news. More news today about Planet X than I did a number of years ago. There's no indication that there is an imminent Planet X-type object coming into the solar system. There's always people running around saying such things. If I find out about anything, in fact, this spring, every spring, we have ongoing efforts to search those southern parts of the solar system. So anything that I find, And I don't depend on professionals of any kind. I wouldn't trust them to tell me if they did see something. But the point is that preparation is the same no matter what you are preparing for, whether it's a radiation leak from Japan, whether it's the Gulf oil spill. Preparation is the same. You basically need clean water. You need food for the long term, you need food for the short term, and you need food for a very short term. And so you need all of these things. You need to be able to stay where you are. You can't depend on infrastructure. Don't depend on driving down to the gas pump and getting gas. And just on that note, today I actually went and got some gas. What is going on in the country, the United States right now, is absolutely beyond absurd. None of this should be happening. There's not a single part of this that should be happening. The BP oil spill should have never happened. The energy crisis in Japan that we're now seeing, that should have never happened. None of these things should have ever happened. The disaster that is left with the coal industry, both during the mining aspect and afterwards when it's burned, the level of pollution, oil, and the byproducts of the oil industry, just burning, the amount of energy that's consumed in the world, not to mention the wars that have to be maintained for all of these industries to keep moving, the damage that is done to constantly to third world countries, and then the ignorance in the first world countries where they don't understand that to live at this level, there are 16 people in third world countries that have to live at below the poverty level so that you can live this lifestyle here. None of this has to exist. And one night I was on Coast to Coast. I think it was that February 16th night. I can't remember exactly, but George Norrie asked me, he said, "What, Jim, what's the biggest problem in the world right now?" And I usually a little quicker on my feet, but I missed it, and I should have said the bankers. The bankers are the biggest problem in the world. You get rid of the world banking system, the U.S. banking system, and everything that goes with it, including the military-industrial complex in the United States, and you've pretty much cured 99% of the world's problems right there. You get rid of the oil demands. You get rid of interest on loans. You free the people up from these albatrosses that are around our necks, the ball and chain that's dragging society down, and you get rid of the current system of that is in place that has taken over our federal government. You get rid of all of this, and you would start to be able to put the world back together again. Without that, it's just going to keep going downhill. And the a lot of parts of this, the government scientists, gee, what would all those government scientists do without the government funding? Where would they go get a job? Well, gee, I guess maybe McDonald's would have to hire a few of them, flipping hamburgers or something. But it's a pretty grim view of how the level that we have gotten to in this country and the damage that it has done to Earth. So once again, what do people do? I want to mention the pre-filter. In fact, I have to talk a bit about product ordering. A long time ago, I started analyzing items that people need, and I said, what are the basics? And I went out and I searched far and wide, and I got the best things possible, and I put them on my page. And so what's happening now? Well, it's pretty much, I've never seen quite anything like this. The ordering levels are very high, and we've pretty much gotten everything up to date right now with shipping within the last weeks. There were still working on food orders, getting them up to date within the next few days. Pretty much all of that is going to be caught up, and so I very much appreciate people's patience out there, because it has been nonstop morning to night, including weekends, for weeks and weeks. And since the Japan issue, just to give a little review on the flora or the pre-filter, they are still available. We're watching that closely, but they're selling like I've never quite seen anything like this. And people are buying that for good reason, because it's a pre-filter to take chemicals, radiation, and oil and other sludge, etc., out of your water before you put it into your water filter. So with the concept that water is radiation is accumulative, you don't want to be pouring radiation-laden water into your water filter. So with all of those pollutants, you want to take that out before the water gets into your water filter. The pre-filter fits all of the major brand water filters, all of the stainless steel ones. It fits the plastic one that's for sale on my webpage. So it's a well-designed unit. It comes with instructions. Anyway, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, because you can read about it on the webpage. And then the other thing is fluoride filters. Amazingly enough, people are really starting to understand that they got to get the fluoride out of their water. So the fluoride filters are there on the web page, and you can buy two of them. They're relatively expensive. They adapt once again to any of the standard water filters, and they go on the base of the Dalton 7-inch Super Sterisil candles. So they go in the base, they just screw on, and they'll take fluoride and arsenic out of your water. So those, once again, people are starting to wake up to the fact that they don't want fluoride in their water, and the city is going to put it in there, so you got to take it out if you don't want it. Just a quick announcement about the stainless steel water filters. People are finally waking up to these. I think someday, I don't know when, there's going to be a time when all of these items will simply be consumed by public demand. And the demand is increasing all the time. So if you're sitting there waiting, trying to figure out what you want, the other thing, right now the grab-and-go buckets are in stock, and those are shipping. We've had a big push. I've been in communication with shipping. And these are going out. We should be caught up here within a number of days. Hopefully there's extra people working on this aspect of getting items out. So it has been literally crazy. That's the best word I can use for my life lately. Trying to keep track of things and the just trying to keep track of the orders people are putting in and keeping them moving. So if you do have orders in, thank you for your patience, and you should see everything pretty soon here. We're making every effort to catch up and get everything out, and then maintain and keep up with the orders. So at any rate, that's about it as far as those items. I want to talk a little bit about a subject. Here is something that I'm going to personally do a little bit of research on. And once again, vested interests at work. The Bosnian pyramids, many of you have heard about that, that there are have been discoveries in Bosnia that could relate to ancient buildings, pyramids or other types of buildings that were built a long time ago, antiquities. And it turns out that there's a lot of behind-the-scene political maneuvering relative to trying to keep the public from understanding what's there. I personally can't vouch for if this is a real find or not. So, as I said, I'm going to put some things into motion where I can get real information and then give you a report. But as you would expect, Egypt, with its vested interest in being the claiming the oldest pyramids in the world, and now we know for sure that isn't the case, because a lot of the finds in Peru and in other parts of the world are definitely older, reflecting very old civilizations on this planet. But anyway, just a brief mention that the Bosnian pyramids, I'll be sending out some feelers so I can get real information back. I'll keep you posted on that. Another issue here, in the February 28th issue of Newsweek magazine, there were some articles talking about the debt crisis in the United States. And, of course, the debt crisis goes back to the bankers loaning worthless money and Congress giving up its real power to create the money in this country and holding the purse strings, giving that over to a private European banking interest. But the solution that you see coming out of Newsweek, the one of the disinformation fonts for the powers in the United States and around the world. Newsweek says that states and the federal government should sell off resources such as the road system of the country. It says that plenty of countries, Japan, Turkey, even China, have privatized parts of their transportation and they retain revenues from this. So they're trying to pay off our national debt, which is really an imaginary debt, by selling off resources. So that would be like you know, in the first place, the governments, they don't understand. They don't own this to sell off. They never had the right to put this country into debt. And who do they own the money to? Well, there are people that that never had any money in the first place. It's all a big scam. And then there's another guy in here who says who rules America? The retired people. He says that the real crisis is that we're being held hostage by seniors in this country. I have never heard a bigger piece of garbage. The seniors are the people that have worked all their lives, they're in retirement, and now most of them just want a little bit of peace and quiet and a little bit of income so they can just be there and enjoy life. They've worked hard, they've raised their kids, and so they're just trying to, as I said, relax. So to put the national debt and blame it on the expense of seniors is absolutely absurd, ridiculous, irresponsible, and insane, as far as I can tell you. So this guy that, this Robert J. Samuelson, gee, Robert, that's the guy who wrote this article, he's going to be a senior someday too. What's he going to do? So at any rate, the whole issue is that the government has and companies have set these people up with Social Security retirement, and they're all itching to take it away. So because they see it as a line item expense. And I guess that would be somewhat predictable, given the fact that if there's a pool of money someplace, someone will get their greedy little hands on it and try and grab it. So I guess I wouldn't put that past anybody in certain sectors, business sectors of our country. But the point is that the national debt is a fictitious debt. It never should have been raised to the level it's at today, and it's been primarily made through the war machine that is still ongoing. Remember that even Eisenhower, as he stepped out of office, recognized the damaging future of the military-industrial complex, and after World War II, the wars could not stop because of the need to continue funding the war machine. So at any rate, I want to just remind you, go to my webpage, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. And the pre-filter is there. We're going to leave it up as long as we can, maintain the supply for the demand, and it's but the water filters, everything that you need, and also the flax. I should mention that the people are ordering the flax. I'm out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.